Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
Get healthy. Be healthy. Stay healthy. It's the Power of Health with Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
I'm back with Natasha Trenev and Jenny Patel-Thompson, and we are talking about gut infections, gut inflammation, and dealing with this terrible conundrum of our guts being so unhealthy. Jenny, you know, it is interesting, and I mentioned in our previous segment that, you know, you're a survivor. You've been through this, and this is not an isolated situation anymore. These gut infections and gut problems are very, very widespread. I mean, the offices for the gastroenterologist are jam-packed today, and it seems like everybody's looking for symptomatic relief.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, for my protocols, which were all developed by me healing myself and then throwing it out there to 250 testers saying, should I put this into a book? Does this work for anybody else? And everyone's saying, yes, it does. And now we're 70,000 readers onward of people who've used my protocols. We use very targeted herbs directly to the colon and the small intestine. And they have to be super specific, often a specific brand, and then combine that with completely repopulating the gut flora. And we often will use a probiotic retention enema. So that's, most people know of an enema as a cleansing thing. Well, we use enemas in a different way. We get people to retain them, to hold them in their colon so that we can have a maximum effect right where the problems are all stemming from.
Almost on contact.
Yes. Absolutely. Because don't forget, you've got it's mucosal tissue. It has an absorption level the same as the mouth tissue. And anybody who's injured their tongue knows how fast your tongue can heal. You know, it's a fast response. It's a fast absorption. It's also fast healing. So that's a positive, actually, when it comes to treating the gut, as long as you have, you know, actual healing, things that you can get right in contact with those tissues.
You know, Natasha, today it seems like the plan needs to be the restoration of friendly bacteria and, of course, your healthy trinity, diet, exercise, and proper use of quality probiotics. But that restoration process, it is a process.
Yeah, it is a process because there is a tolerance, which I'll let Ginny speak to later, of, you know, the gut lining to various components produced either by pathogens or disease-causing bacteria and friendly bacteria. And, you know, it's a very complex dance that goes on between, you know, the gut lining, the bacteria that park on the gut, the immune system, which 80% of the immune cells are found on the gut lining, the 100 billion neurons that control our second brain. There's an elegant dance going on, and it's all about protecting that gut lining so that the body gets nourished in an appropriate way and it doesn't absorb toxins produced by the pathogens, and that the beneficial bacteria can employ numerous mechanisms to stop the pathogens from trying to get into those, the gates that are, you know, there put on the lining of the gut so that it prevents the entry of the pathogens into the blood system and into our, you know, organs like the liver. So it's a very, you know, if it's the most bizarre science fiction film that you can think of all the things that are going on inside your gut for control of that gut lining and to, you know, make sure that the nutrients get in and nothing else.
You know, Jenny, I have a question. How did you stay motivated during this? I mean, it's very, very demotivating to hear from your doctors and hear from the medical establishment that there's not much they can do and there's only one protocol and it's only symptomatic relief. How do you stay motivated to keep the process? Was it looking for hope? Was it desperation and frustration? I'm wondering.
Well, I think because I had such a severe case,
Yeah. It
was literally I had to heal myself or I would be dead. And I did nearly die twice. I hemorrhaged so badly. My hemoglobin was 2 out of 14.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Then the guy in Emerge had worked there 8 years. He says, you know, I've seen the worst accident victims, but nobody's come in here with a hemoglobin as low as yours. So, you know, there was that real risk for me. But I knew I'd spent 3 years under the medical treatment protocols, and I knew what that looked like. And like literally, and I think because I was young, you know, I was, by the time I left the med protocols, I was 20. So I was, you know, you're younger. You're like, I want a life. I don't want to, you don't have kids. You don't have other things that are going to make you want to stay on this planet. So it was very clear cut to me. I'll heal myself or I'll leave because this is just ongoing. prison. Who wants to live like this?
Well, you know, people understand, you know, diarrhea. They understand constipation. They understand sometimes maybe a nervous bowel, that, or, and they understand food poisoning, things like that. How does the Crohn's disease differ?
It has a level of pain that those don't have. Mm-hmm. You will get, because you can get fissures and cracks that go right the way through the intestinal wall. You have massive ulceration and bleeding. So think of, you know, if you fall on your bike and you take a strip of your skin off, that's super painful. You can't put your clothes on it. You can't touch it. Well, that's what's going on inside your gut. And then those wounds are going deeper and they're penetrating through the intestinal wall. So when you get hit with a pain attack, you're on the floor in fetal position, just pouring sweat. You know, and often you're taken to the hospital and they basically freeze your whole gut to give you relief because you can't function. So there's the huge amount of pain that's involved. And then there's, you know, like think about your worst case of food poisoning and think about that going on for years, you know. So, you know, maybe you get a little bit of a break here and there, but when you have, you know, gastrointestinal flu or whatever, you know, it's only for a limited period of time. Whereas this, you know, you're going to be cycling in and out of this forever. So it's a tremendously debilitating way to live. But, you know, like many diseases, it doesn't show to the outside person. So you may look thin, but you look perfectly fine. Everyone's like, oh, I wish I was skinny like you. No, you don't.
No.
But you look fine, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think the thing that you just mentioned it, you touched on it, which I think is very, very profound, is sometimes diseases and health problems are not visible to the eye. You know, I think, and I said this years ago, if we wore our organs on the outside of our body and everybody could see the health of our organs, we'd take better care of them, mm-hmm. because we wouldn't want to be walking around having people commenting on our lungs and our colon and our liver and things like that. So we would take better care of them. But because we don't see them, you know, we go years and years of eating unhealthy diets, not resolving our stress and subjected to all the things that we put ourselves through, and all of a sudden we end up with these things that we think they're brand new, but these have been building and festering under the surface for a long time.
Yeah, and here's the other thing that comes into play then, which Natasha touched on. When you get into a severe state of inflammation or ulceration, your body will not tolerate any bacteria, good or bad. So now you're in a real quandary because, you know, you can't really heal yourself short-term or long-term without getting a good gut flora established, but yet your body will react violently to any bacteria because it's in this hyper-protective, hyper-sensitive mode. So the way that we get around that with our people who are in the most extreme cases is they start with B. infantis, which is basically the only bacteria that breastfed babies have in their gut, and that's the bacteria they receive from the mother. So people start with that. They start with one pinch, literally one pinch of the baby probiotic. Then they gradually build up from there. And as they can get more and more of the good bacteria in their gut, their tolerance increases. Now they can up their dosage until they can get to that. The clinical trial range that you need to be in is 7 to 10 billion CFU per day of a therapeutic quality probiotic.
Natasha, are we the only country that is going through this extreme epidemic of colon and gut disorders, or have we brought our American standard American living and lifestyle to so many places around the world that now they're going through it as well?
Yeah, the more, you know, how shall I say, commercialized the foods mm-hmm. become, that society becomes ill. I know that from my relatives and friends in Eastern Europe that they're not healthy like they were, you know, before World War II, because they've adopted a lot of the bad eating habits that we have in westernized countries. So I believe it's a global problem. I don't know exactly the statistics, but just from speaking with people, it seems to be, you know, getting worse globally. We see more sick children. And I think I've mentioned this before, that in the United States, about 20 years ago, 1 in 10,000 children would be diagnosed with autism. And now, according to an organization called Autism Speaks, it's 1 in 50. So I don't think this is just the U.S. stat. I think it's in all westernized countries across the globe. And unfortunately for us, you know, bad bacteria travel the globe within 48 hours. This is a CDC statistic. So whatever we create, you know, travels globally when people get on the plane. So this inability for our guts to function properly is a global problem. And what's really not understood by doctors or even lay people is that when you have, a gut microbiota disturbance, you will, experience metabolic diseases, allergies, gastroenterologic diseases, and liver diseases. Most people don't know that the fatty liver disease is not caused today by the overconsumption of alcohol alone. It's caused by the bacteria coming in through you, from your portal vein into your liver. So these things that we're recommending, even in the health tree, as a symptomatic control, is not getting us healthy. So we have to go, we have to regroup and we have to go back to what our primary mission was in the health food industry, is to fix the gut and fix the digestion. Because remember that gut lining is the surface that's facing the outside of the world. You know, people don't think about this, that, you're bringing in things from the outside world in your gut, and your gut now has to process that as food and make it nourish our body without disturbing the immune cells and the neurons and everything else that's on our gut lining. So this concept somehow has to be understood by people. And one thing I want to say before I turn it over to you and Ginny is that, we also in the health food industry recommend these colon cleanses, which can be very detrimental, especially people who are prone to getting a disease like Crohn's or irritable bowel syndrome or inflammatory diseases like colitis. This is not the way to treat people who have potentially serious GI problems. And also the fact that we're telling people to eat raw foods and they have these inflammatory conditions. We have to start giving advice with some common sense in mind.
Let me ask you a question, Jenny. I ask a lot of my formulators that I interview all the time, and I say, how do you know when you got your formula right? Well, I'm going to ask you the same thing. How did you know, after you decided to take control, that you were heading in the right direction?
Because of my scientific background, I kept a log of everything. And so I was tracking my symptoms. I was also tracking, like, if I found a substance that I thought had a beneficial effect, it had to have that same beneficial effect on three different usages at three different times so that I could rule out, stress or something in my diet affecting the substance. And so I kept a really good record of how things were going. And that's what, and then, of course, just how you feel and what you're able to do mm-hmm. during your day and, when you can actually go out to a movie or have dinner somewhere. These are milestones for people with these diseases. So that type of thing was occurring, along at the same time.
To be able to commit your life to something, not only shows your concern for what you went through, but also the concern for everybody else. I do want to mention just quickly, I loved your book. Natural Treatments for Gut Infection. I think people should pick that up and put it in their library because this is more and more widespread than people think it is with colitis and diverticulitis and Crohn's and spastic bowel and stress bowels and diarrhea and constipation and bad digestion and most of the country using acid suppressive medications. This is so important that people understand the intensity of focus that we need to have on our gut, because without our gut being in a euphoric, balanced, homeostasis situation, everything else in our body can't do what it needs to do. We can't have balance, and mm-hmm. and it's terrible.
That's what I was kind of thinking of when Natasha was talking in about how there's, such an increase in pathogenic bacteria and it spreads quickly worldwide. And, my response to that is yes, but if you have a well-established, healthy gut flora, none of that stuff matters. And I'll give you a very personal example. So here you have someone like me who's probably had the worst gut that's possible to have. I've healed myself. I've reestablished a healthy flora. I travel to Mexico every single year. But here's the thing that I do. I take my Nature and probiotics packed on ice with me, and me and my whole family take probiotics while we're there. So we've been in situations, this was about 10 years ago, we were at this resort and every person got sick. The Montezuma's Revenge, the yes. entire resort was ill, except for my family. We were fine. So even something that's going to take out like hundreds of people with food poisoning, we had nothing because we all had a good flora going in and we were taking the probiotics daily while we were there.
Well, that's a credit to the quality of the probiotic. And I'm sure you'll mention that. What do you look for in your probiotic? I mean, what were you looking for to make sure that you decided it was the right one? Obviously, there's differences.
Yes, and I'm very big on this one because I have readers from over 80 different countries around the world, okay? So they're always looking, can I buy something locally? And I say, yes, you can, but here's what you have to look for in your probiotic. Mm-hmm. So, and this is all based on, I spent, oh my gosh, 4 solid months going into the microbiology literature and looking, like not listening to probiotic manufacturers, but going into the actual microbiology literature to say what makes a bacteria live, vital, and capable of adhering to the gut wall and doing its job in the gut. And so these are the top things. Number one, different species of bacteria cannot be touching each other. And if you look on the shelves, you'll see almost every brand throws as many different species together in one bottle or in one capsule, and you think, oh, this is a really great probiotic. Look, it's got 14 different species packaged together. No, bacteria are competitive microorganisms. They will fight for space. So, sure, that's what they're putting in at the time they're manufacturing. By the time you're consuming it, who knows? There's maybe one or two dominant species that are active in that bottle. So that's the first thing. When you are rebuilding a gut that's compromised, so I'm talking about therapeutic probiotics, you often have to take only one species at a time because your gut has different tolerance levels to the different species. So with Natron, they do have, a capsule called Healthy Trinity, but within that capsule, each of the species are separated by their own oil bubble. So even though it looks like they're together when you swallow it, they're not actually touching each other inside that capsule. So the next thing is that the probiotics must be kept refrigerated at all times. So this is also due to the manufacturer, because if you're taking your load of probiotics and you're shipping them to a supplier cross-country, if you don't ship them in refrigerated trucks or at least with some kind of temperature control, let's say you're going down to Arizona or whatever, heat quickly kills bacteria. So they can take a certain amount of heat for a certain amount of time, but then you're into, well, now your product isn't potent anymore. So here's the other thing. If your manufacturer will guarantee the number of live bacteria through to the date of expiration, then you know you're okay. But most of them don't. They only list the guaranteed bacteria at the time of bottling because they're not fulfilling all of these different criteria that result in keeping those bacteria alive and strong and ready to go to action when you actually ingest them.
Well, it's intricate, isn't it? It's a lot more than people think it is. It's not just like grabbing something off a shelf, and it should be a shelf in a refrigerator.
Exactly. And then we could get into strains and species, because let's say you have Acidophilus, for example. So there's about 200 identified strains of the Acidophilus species. Okay, of these, only 13 have good antibiotic qualities. So the strain is incredibly important. And if you don't know that, or you buy, a lot of manufacturers are buying from, you know, they're just ordering off a formula sheet. They don't actually know anything about bacteria. They have a very cheap strain of Acidophilus in there, and maybe just a few grains of the expensive one sprinkled in there, and you have no idea. Well, I don't really notice any difference when I take probiotics. Well, mm-hmm. It's because of the quality of probiotics that you're taking.
There's a lot to learn, and this show is bringing the information so you have the tools that you can make better, wiser, healthier decisions. We're talking with Natasha Trenev and Jenny Patel-Thompson. We're talking about gut health today, and I hope you're enjoying it. And don't forget to pick up a copy of Jenny's book, Natural Treatments for Gut Infection. It's a must for your library. The way we're heading with our ill health, we need to make sure we're doing something to keep ourselves as healthy as possible. I want everybody to make sure you tune into the show. This is Dr. Jeffrey Burke, and this is The Power of Health on Radio MD. For more information, tune into this segment and all my segments. Visit my show page at radiomd.com. Thanks for listening, and stay well.